Hi, good morning, world. Wesley Pepper here, and welcome to my podcast, Mr. Pepper's Art Lexia. All right, man. What a week, eh? This virus is becoming, and the everything surrounding virus is becoming heavier, and getting closer and closer to my home. A friend of mine has tested positive, so Rinaldi Adams, Ish, my bro, I hope you all the best, man, and just get well soon, homie. Besides that, this week's episode, I'm talking to an old friend of mine and also a very talented musician. He's also a very cool vocalist and I just overall creative and artist, Meropa. He goes by the name of Meropa Soul. And I thought, given that this was such a shitty week, I thought it would be really cool to play out with some music, so we'll have Meropa bless us with some of his sound. But that's also something I want to experiment with in the future, you know, when it comes to musicians and poets, have them perform this stuff. So, yeah, man, and also big up to all my new listeners. Like, our listenership has been growing. The listenership has been growing substantially, or rather consistently. And basically all the episodes are getting airplay and people are interacting with them, especially on Facebook. So thanks a lot to all of that. Lebogang, my brother, I see you. Thanks for all your shout outs. It's much, much, much appreciated. And it's going notice, which means people are listening and people are buying in. So that's really, really, really cool. All right, man. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into Meropa and hear what he's all about. Thanks for tuning in. So today's episode with Meropa is going to be a bit different, mainly because we had the network was just terrible yesterday. It was just absolutely terrible. I couldn't hear him, he couldn't hear me, and when we could, it was really bad. So we had to kind of improvise. What we came out with, the original idea behind today's talk was going to be, you know, to discuss Meropa as an artist. Discuss his music and his forthcoming album and how he was adapting to the virus, or rather the pandemic. And but you know, because there was such a lot of to and fro between us, and so it actually ended up just being Meropa just taking us through his journey as a musician, talking about his influences and his forthcoming album, and then he blesses us with a very, very beautiful piece of music at the end, which I thought was kind of fitting, and it's something I definitely want to do more and more of in the coming future. So that is like feature more performance-based artists and have them perform, you know, and who knows, man, in the future even move into some video. And see how we can utilize that how we can use that space. It's something I'm really interested in doing. So big up to Meropa for being flexible with yesterday, because to get the whole thing together was a bit of a mission, given the limited resources. But I think the interview is pretty cool. It's also quite intimate, and he really takes us on a long interesting journey. So yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy that.
Okay, man. The first question comes from is sort of like where you started. So it's like, you know, man, like where we met, you know, spoken word movement, Newtown, early 2000s, funny experience, Dollar High, Swish, you know, cats like that, that type of sound that you come from. How did you, like, through the years, like, sort of refine that sound, you know? How did you refine it, and what creative direction did you take with that sound? And how did it evolve, man? Because it's like almost 20 years, so you know you can focus on who influenced it, you know, names, movements, stuff like that, and that's the first question.
Yes, thank you very much, Wesley Pepper, for the invite. My name is Meropa. I was born and raised in Soweto. Being born in the late towards early 80s. I was born in a smoke of power, the anger of the students that started to boycott Africans' education in 1976. So I was born in the aftermath of the smoke of power. Being born that time, that was early 80s. Being born that time, I was born in a family that loved to go to church, loved to like Christians, you know. So I was born in that kind of a family. My grandmother was a teacher. My mother was also a teacher. My father was a priest. So, like, I was influenced by so much, you know. I had so many cousins, you know, the townships. Like us, black family, obvious, in fact. Young child, large family, in fact. Cousins and cousins and cousins in the house. So, my influence, like, I was influenced by so many characters. Like, but the most important a character that shaped my my interest in art was my uncle. My uncle had so many records, you can count, during that time. So when we were growing up, like crawling down, like kids, he will play those records and pick us up and dance with us, you know. So I think by him, by doing that, he installed some things to us as the children during that time. Fast forwarding to high school. In high school, I was not yet aware of art, if I can put it that way. I was not aware. I'm talking about standard 6 here. Now they're talking the grades. But now in standard 6, my parents had to take me out of the township and change, and took me to my aunt's, which was in Fort Lawrence. So I had to live there because of, you know, Soweto during that time. It was like, hey, up and down, you know, those things. So coming to art, my cousin, we used to write scripts and go and perform in poetry sessions. And 99, I approached my mother for the first time and I asked her to buy me a guitar. I didn't know how to play a guitar, but I was interested in this instrument. It was like, yo, this instrument I must have, you know. So my mother bought me the instrument. Didn't know how to play the instrument, but I had a thing for the instrument, you know. So my mother bought me an instrument, and then after that, I had to go around and ask how to play the instrument around. It's when I was introduced to a youth club called Tabisong Youth Club, MDN, somewhere around Soweto, the Niezola, where I'm from. So I went to this youth club, not knowing anything about art. So when I got to this youth club, I saw other young artists there playing their instruments. So obvious, I made friends with them. I started playing one, two chords. And the day I understood how to play two chords, I just composed a song called Amapungu Namachichi. You find the song in my first album that was recorded in Unity Gallery. That was 2009. That song, when I started composing that song, I was like amazed that I can do that, play an instrument and sing at the same time. To me, it was for the first time, because it was not something that I thought of as I was growing up. I knew that I loved music, but I didn't grow up thinking it's something that I'm gonna pursue. But the moment I hold that guitar for the first time, I had a calling. You know what I mean? Just had a calling. So I composed that song, and there at that youth club, there was this guy called Winky. May his soul rest in peace. He's the one who introduced me to the lifestyle of poetry sessions and live performances. So me and that guy, here we were going around poetry sessions in town. Remember, I don't know anything about poetry sessions that time. I'm blank. But I'm holding a guitar and I'm excited I have a song, you know. So the guy just encouraged me and told me, man, this music that you're playing, there's a market for it in poetry sessions around Newtown, around, you know. So this guy and me, we decided that, you know, one day we're gonna go and attend one of the poetry sessions in town. So I had to go back to my parents and ask for fees for taxi fees for us to go to town. Obviously, they'll give, because they were starting to see that I love art, you know. So they were like accepting me being me, you know. They'll give me money for taxi. I'll go to Newtown with this guy, friend of mine. And they will go to the stage, he'll go to the stage and perform, you know what I mean? I'm there, it's like, oh, this guy, in front of so many people, he's saying whatever that he wrote in that paper. Oh, this is interesting, you know? So now it's like I'm starting to open up. I'm starting to see other people. I'm starting to understand how people feel, how people express themselves. So I was attending this poetry session with this guy. Now we are going every weekend. Even sometimes we go during the week. You know, parents will be asking, "Where are you going now? This time is late." And I was like, "No, I'm going to a poetry session. I want the money for the tickets." And she will always give me, even if she's angry, you know. I'll go to the poetry sessions. Damn. Now I'm introduced to this new sound now. I'm the guitarist, now I'm excited. So now I want to hear other musicians who play the same instrument that I'm playing. It's when I was introduced to Salificator, the sound of Salificator. I was like, damn, this sound communicates with my soul. So I made sure I had Salificator's CDs, listened to him. You know what I liked the most about Salificator? I didn't even understand the language that he's using, but I connected with him. I connected with the guy. And the other person is Ishmaelo. You know, Ishmaelo is the other guy that, a great musician that I connect with. His music penetrates through the soul. It's like he's loud in the soul, you know what I mean? So he's one of the people that I followed. Also, Oliver Mtukudzi, may his soul rest in peace. He has influenced me so much in my music. So me going around Newtown, meeting different artists, being friends with others, jamming around, I started connecting with the art world. I was now in it. I will be in Newtown Monday to Sunday, around town, working, creating productions with fellow artists. And then during that time, I met a guy called Prophet JT Umbongu Nkosi. So, Prophet JT, I met him at Johannesburg Art Gallery. There I was performing with a group called African Camp. We're a bunch of guys from Soweto. We're four of us. So there were two guitars, but that time I was more interested in singing and rapping than playing. So there was this guy called Nhlanhla Mkhonazi. He will play the guitar and sing his songs, and I will play some of my songs and sing them. It's like we were the group. So when we were performing there at Johannesburg Art Gallery, after performance, Prophet JT approached me. Hey, that guy, he's poetry. It's on another level. So he called me and said, Mfana, I would love us to have something, like have a set, perform together. And I was like, oh, seriously? No, I'm damn serious. I'm damn interested in what you're saying. How can we do that? So he said to me, we have to meet during the week in Newtown, and then after there, we'll take it from there. So I said, no, sharp, I'll be here. Anyway, I'm always around, mingling with other artists, trying, you know, to be around, to be there. You know what I mean? So I met with Prophet. So when I met with Prophet, we started a production called Black Reflections. Black Reflection was a production. There was a guitar and music, which was me there, and a poet called Palisa Shabalala, and Prophet JT Ubonkosi. And the guy on the percussion was called Gama. Still remember his name. So during that time, we rehearsed in the open space there at the old train station in Newtown. Now it's a mall. Yeah, we used to rehearse there at the back there. Yeah, we rehearsed there our production, we rehearsed, we mix all these things. And then we had to find a way to go to what's this place? Grahamstown. So Prophet JT, because he knew how to get there. Me, I was still young there in terms of, I was still young in the art scene. So he organized everything and we found ourselves in Grahamstown performing, getting standing ovations, etc., etc. But it was, that was a good time for me. Because my world was like around artists. And I was starting to know so many artists. I would like leave my place for days, man. I was like living like a refugee, man. You know what I mean? So I would sleep there by Prophet JT. He used to live there in Bramfontein. So we'll come from Horror Cafe. Maybe we're performing there, we'll go there and sleep there. He used to have a flat and shared a flat with other guy there. I don't remember his name. So during that time, my interest expanded of being an artist, of performing, of mingling with other artists and, you know, organizing shows. So I was now in too deep as an artist. So me and other artists, musicians, we started a group called Ancients. It was me, Palisa, Mujalifa, Dollar I, and Skadu. The group was called Ancient. So by that time, my life was in Newtown. So we'll go to shows as Ancients and perform with other artists. Is when I met with other bands like Kwani Experience, Skin to Skin, Route 2000, Slick Angel. Hey, that man was the man that day. With Julius Makweru. Julius Makweru used to organize the shows at Horror Cafe. So now I had contact with the people who were organizing those shows. So they will call me if maybe there's a show. Then I will go there and perform, you know, pushing that passion that time. Because that time we were like rebels. We had a point to prove and we had a mission to accomplish, you know. Because we were pushing the consciousness of black people, the consciousness of the society as young people. So that time, all of us, we had one goal. We had a goal of embracing this art, embracing the gift of being artists, you know, appreciating each other at the same time in that process, you know what I mean? So me being around I was getting introduced to so many people. So I met with Andrew, introduced by JD. And then me and Andrew became good friends. Yeah. He will call me to come and perform. Maybe if there's a launch of a book in the gallery. And I was like all the time happy to go and perform there. Because to me, it was like an accomplishment of some sort, you know what I mean? Because all I wanted was to go and perform for people, you know, especially in an intimate environment. So Art Gallery for me was like, yeah, me, I'm going to perform at the Art Gallery. So I became friends with a Unity Gallery family, you know. I was a regular now. I was always going there. If there's an event, go there and perform, you know. Mingle with friends, meet other new people, you know. For me, Unity Gallery was like this space, you know. It's where I grew. It's where I got to a point whereby I really, really, really understand myself as an artist. I was calling myself an artist now. So I approached my parents and then I told them I want to go to a music school. So I attended CJC College, which was in Parktown, still in Parktown. It's where I met other musicians. I met musicians, producers. I met with the lectures, Sainduli, the jazz artist, was my lecture there. Demo, also Sisa, the drumist who played for Thandiswa Mazwai. Peggy Khoza was also my lecture there. During that time, I was performing mostly in poetry sessions around Newtown. So I had contact with this guy called Julius Makweru. Julius Makweru was a guy that was organizing poetry sessions starting from House of Coffee, Rosebank, near Market Theatre. And also he was organizing a show at Horror Cafe. His shows were called Boo Show. So Boo Show were sessions where poets and musicians meet and perform poetry. So I was always attending those shows, performing on those shows. And then the other time, Julius called me for a meeting, and then I had to meet with the first time I met Slick Angel. Slick Angel, the guitarist, yeah, from Route 2000 with MXO. The first time I met him, we jingled very well. You know, as artists, it was like the 1st of December. We had a show somewhere, I forgot the place where we went, and then we performed there, me and Slick Angel. I was like, yeah, I'm performing with Slick Angel, yo, this is nice, yeah. You know, like I was enjoying every moment of it. So, doing that, one time Julius called me and said we have to go to YFM. YFM was at Rosebank. There at Rosebank, the show was hosted by Rude Boy and Unati. So we went there, and then I performed my songs there. It's like everybody enjoyed my performance at the station, and I happened to record the show on that day. I told my friends, hey man, I'll be performing at YFM, please record me. So they recorded me. It was like, yeah, nice. And then I don't know how did the tape get to Zola 7. And then one day I was sitting at my place, and then the phone rang, and then when I answered, it was Zola 7, and then he asked to meet with me, and I said, no, we can. Then we met with Zola 7, and then he approached me, told me about the song that he wanna do, but he wants it to be acoustic. He wants to use a guitar on that song, you know. So I said, no, it's fine. Let's do it. Let's do this. So we did the song with Zola, and then we followed it up with a video. That was 2003. Now I'm in Newtown. Remember? Unity Gallery. So Andrew approached me and asked me if I wanted to record the album. Then I said, yes, of course, I want to record the album. It was like for the first time, because I was going around looking for deals. But me, these things of deals was like, I was not into it that much, you know. I just wanted to perform around, create my own songs, you know what I mean. So Andrew asked me if I wanted to record an album. Then I said, yes, I want to record an album. And then he set up everything in terms of the studio, the guys who are gonna be working on the album, in terms of the graphic designs. He called PLO there on the graphic designs. He called KK on the recording, like as a producer. And then I also got Nhlanhla Vilakazi on the guitar, Lucas Bunoko on the drums. What is nice and organic about the journey is that it was recorded without a rehearsal. We were a bunch of artists who were hungry to create new things, new sound, the sound I've discovered. So I met with the guitarist the day before, and then we rehearsed for about 3 to 4 hours. Rehearsing all the songs. King Bunoko came on the day where we have to record now. So we recorded the journey, and then we finished the journey, and the journey was pushed independently by Unity Gallery and myself, of course. And then comes the shutdown of Newtown. You know, the shutdown of Newtown was like, it took a lot from underground artists of that by the oh, during that time. It took the school, it took friends. We had to go back to the township and continue with what we have started in Newtown. We had to move on as artists because that was not gonna break us. The song that I'm gonna be performing for you is called Uhambo, which is taken from my album called The Journey. That was recorded 2009 at Unity Gallery, Central Johannesburg. The song Uhambo talks about the vision, the feeling of having a vision of the future. It talks about the struggles. It talks about the happiness. It talks about the challenges that we go through as an individual. It also talks about the passion. The passion within a person. The passion that will never be taken away. The passion that will never leave you. The passion that will always be there. It talks about not giving up. Never stop.
In the trees and the jungle.
Thank you very much. And now, what I'm busy with in the present moment, I'm busy with my new EP called Inkanyezi, The Star. Hopefully, it's gonna be coming soon, because I'm busy at the studio now, trying to mix and master, put it on the standard of the market, as they say. But I'm busy with that now. Coming fine, everything is coming cool. It's like I'm happy with the production. If maybe someone is interested in knowing more about what I'm all about, what am I doing, I'm up to now, he can go to my Facebook page, which is Mirupa Soul Afrofolk.
And how your sound has grown and all of that. I was gonna touch on the coronavirus one. Like, I wanna know, how did the virus, sort of, what gigs, or rather, how was your hustle looking before the virus?
Yeah.
And how does it look now?
Yeah.
After the virus, and sort of, how are you as a musician adapting to tech? How are you adapting to that, to that environment? And, you know, sort of, how are you using your social media platform, etc. And how are you going to sort of be promoting this album?
For sure.
So, yeah, man. So if you can talk about the whole pre-corona and post-corona.
This corona thing, my friend, it changed everything. We used to go to shows. Hey, I don't know. But on the positive side of it, I see it as an opportunity of independence for artists of any sort, you know. Because now we're able to push our stuff without thinking twice, you know. You can do your own thing, push your own stuff online. You can sell your own music online. You can even do your own shows, like broadcast your own shows online without any company. So this thing for artists, I think it has become a blessing in disguise. It has created a buzz for independent artists to push their stuff, to reach the masses. So I think technology is the way. Technology is the future. Technology is the way we're gonna communicate, I think, from now. With all the fans of our music, with all the friends and family who live far from where we live, I think technology is gonna play a big, big, big role to get us, or to keep us going as human beings. So now I would love to give you a preview of my new single that is gonna be coming. I'm busy with now. I'm just gonna give a preview. Hope you're gonna enjoy the song.
About the old days, the old nights on my lonely bed.
Undibambe ngezandla, undiphuza, sikothoza through the ocean breeze. Bendicinga uba ndikufumene. It was not nice to realize that our love was lost in the middle of the mist. Remembering the days when we used to share a bowl of kumnandi. Under the starlight,
Ubuhle bakho bukhanyisa inhliziyo yami.
ngiyayithanda inhliziyo yami inhliziyo yami ubuhle bakho bukhanyisa inhliziyo yami inhliziyo yami.
You can check me on social media, Facebook, Mirupa Soul Afrofolk. You can also find me on Twitter, same using the same name. You can also find me on my email, mirupasoulmusic@gmail.com.
Just another note on future episodes. So, I kind of want to sort of introduce my next episode on my podcast. So I'm looking to talk to X Collective from Cape Town, which is going to be really, really interesting. And I'm looking to talk to a it's not confirmed yet, so I won't give his name, although he was very interested. So we want to talk about how art as a subject is I wouldn't say treated, but how it's been handled in the current pandemic, which direction it's going, the politics around the reopening of schools during the pandemic, and the politics of, I'd like to touch on the politics of Cape Town and the Western Cape, and what's happening amongst activists and how art has been used. So those are two coming episodes, and there's a few more others. I've got a few more other lined up.